This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.
Hey, it's JD here, and you're probably tired of podcasts asking you for money. I get it, so I'm not going to ask. I am, however, going to strongly suggest, with love, that you give me money.
This isn't about exclusive perks or gated content, though those exist. It's about supporting something you believe in.
If you've been enjoying the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown, if it's made you laugh, think, feel something, or reconnect with a band that means the world to you, this is your chance to give back.
I make this show because I love the hip, I love this community, and I believe in telling stories that matter. But it all takes time, energy, and of course, your support.
By joining the membership, you're not just helping to keep the show running, you're also helping to raise money for the ALS Society of Canada.
No minimum, no catch, no problem. buymeacoffee.com/TTH Top 40. Membership. Support the show. Support the cause. Support what you love.
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
Yeah. Are any of them on your favorites? The track listing.
Gus is on it, and that's probably the only one from this 10. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to come back to as this list unfolds, like the point that you're making now, to kind of come back to it and kind of reference the data as the, you know, the next 10 roll out and etc. Because that's a very interesting point.
Hey, it's JD here, and I want to welcome you in the Tragically Hip Top 40 Podcast Studios on a Friday night. What are you doing here on a Friday night? Look, we've got four people that have volunteered their time on a Friday night, one of them a Friday evening, and I'm very appreciative of their service and what they're going to bring to the round table this evening. The format of this is going to be that we're going to introduce each of our guests, and then we are going to get into things. We are going to talk about what has occurred over the last 20 songs and maybe what's going to occur in the remaining 20 songs. We shall see. We're going to work from my right on my screen, and we're going to go to Jeff from Vaughn first. Jeff, how are you doing on this hip-tastic day?
Excellent. It's Friday and the work week is over.
Excellent.
And we're talking hip here. Come on.
Yeah, right? It's going to be awesome. Sarah J. from Buffalo is here, as always, on the round tables. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It has been a shitty week weather-wise here, but all right. It's all right. Just been raining every single day, but
same z's.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. But we are here now, and I'm excited to hang out with everybody and get into all of my nerdy notes.
Excellent. Me too. She's got them color-coded, folks. Color-coded. So we have our friend from Discovering Downey, our friend Craig Rogers, Craig from Vancouver. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing well. And yeah, looking forward to talking some hip. It's been a while since I've done this, so I might be a little rusty. Might have to warm up the vocal cords a bit.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for with your lips. Chris from Guelph is here with us as well. We're going to try this again, Chris from Guelph. And if it doesn't pan out, join us in the comments. Join us in the live stream. But it looks like it's going to work out. So let's give this a try. How the fuck are you doing?
I am doing well. It looks like there's a bit of a delay, but I think you should catch what I'm saying. If it's delayed by a few seconds, that's okay. But thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, I think that works. I think that works.
All right.
So I want to go around the table first and just lob a softball your way. Jeff from Vaughn, have you had an episode in the first 20 jump out at you for any reason?
The Depression Suite episode for me was the one that not only is it, you know, a favorite song of mine, it's definitely in my top list. Tyler, I believe, who was on that one, the guy came prepared. He did his research, and every time you asked him, do you have anything else to say about the Depression Suite? And he says, as a matter of fact, I do. And he would just go right in. He broke down the three parts of the song, and he had me, and he had JD too. They covered everything from the details of the lyrics to mental health. And there was a bit of an uplifting tone and ending to that whole episode based on that song, because that song can teeter totter either way, depending on maybe how you're doing or how you look at things, I guess. But Tyler had it dialed in. And for me, that was a big deal. When that song came on, I'm like, man, I hope whoever he has on this knows this song, knows the power of this song and how good it really is. And this guy was dialed in. I loved it.
Yeah, Tyler really brought it. And he's got that great podcasting voice as well. My God.
Sure he does.
Sarah J, how about you? There's your softball. From here on in, it's curveballs.
I do want to say that it has seemed amazing how it's been perfect, each person, the song. Somehow it's always been the most perfect person to talk about that song, whether they just pick it and it is perfect for them for that reason, or if it just happens to be that way. It's however it's always panned out so far, it's just been really amazing how the song and the person come together the way that they have. So I just really like that every week. However, I'm going to take the opportunity to shout out my girl, Sherry, who yesterday. So happy birthday. And she was song number 22. And just to hear her, just to hear her story. And then I'm a numbers gal, so her whole number connection with 22 and it being the 22nd song. And so that was my favorite. But I can probably pick a favorite moment from every episode, honestly.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot then. Go. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
I mean, I told you, I showed you, I have the notes. I wrote everybody down. So, I mean, yes, I do have favorites. I can pick a favorite from all.
Oh, that's great. Greg, how are you doing with your softball assignment here?
Well, there's a couple I could choose. I think everyone loved the Hawksley Workman episode. That was amazing. I loved Ron's little insight into the, you know, behind the scenes at the first show in Victoria with the signal. If Rob puts a guitar on this guitar stand, you know, we need the doctor. Just stuff like that was great. But my favorite episode has been Matt from England, and just his story about discovering them on kind of by accident on LimeWire. So yeah. Then his whole interview with Gord that was later released on your feed was just incredible. Oh, like a lot gosh. Of the stuff that he got into with Gord was just stuff I had never really heard before, because I think the circumstance of the interview was just so kind of casual. And I think he really earned Gord's trust in a short period of time there. And it was awesome. So yeah, Matt from somewhere in England, I forget the town, but
Portsmouth.
Okay.
Portsmouth. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe I remembered that. that's incredible. As I'm struggling to remember where Chris is from. No, not really. He's from Guelph. Chris, what do you think so far of your colleagues' favorite episodes, and which is yours or a standout?
Yeah, I get a few. I've noticed I've taken away little bits from every one of them, but a few standouts. I too liked the bloke from England that talked about the Shepherd's Bush show. That was really cool to hear someone from across the pond talking about them. But I can't remember his first name, but he was from Seattle, 60 years old. He had a real confidence about him. So you can disagree with me, but you're wrong, that guy. You had him on for My Music at Work episode.
No. Oh, let me open my doc.
Hold on.
You've got it?
Was it Alan?
Anyway, while you're looking it up, I'll...
Oh, yes, Alan.
That sounds right, yeah.
Alan from Federal Way.
Yep.
Yep, that's him. And he said about how seeing the band live the first time on Saturday Night Live really affected him. And I resonated with that because it affected me in the same way 3 years earlier when I saw them live for the first time in Molson Park in Barrie. It was the exact same feeling coming back around. No, it was really, because they were my favorite band already. I had Road Apples. I had Up to Here on tape. I had Road Apples on CD. I had Up to Here on tape. And they were my favorite band, but I hadn't seen them live until July 1st, 1992. And that just changed everything. And the way that he described his experience watching Saturday Night Live was the exact same feeling that I had. Where after that, I mean, I was surprised watching the performance. And then after that, nothing was the same. It was just complete. I'm diehard, 100% dedicated Hip fan for life. Nothing will ever change that. And he described it the exact same way. So that really stood out to me.
And is that the show that they played in Ontario, then flew out to Vancouver and played here?
Yeah, that's the one. Day? Yeah, they actually played in St. John, St. John or St. John's. Yeah, so I can't remember which one. Three shows, so yeah. Yeah. So they took advantage of the time zones.
Right, yeah, I didn't make that show, but I've seen the footage from UBC. And I know our Ian, who was on the Darkest One episode, I believe. Is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, he was Flamenco. Who's the singer in my band. He was at that show on mm-hmm. Canada Day in 92. And I saw them a year later for the
because
first time
they had in 93. Because they had to fly out to Vancouver, it was just a short, it was on in the middle of the day and it was just a short set. I think they did five or six songs.
Oh,
but still they just blew everyone else away.
This is a full set.
It was really something.
You can see it on YouTube still, the whole concert. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I remember that was a bonus because I got to drive home and then watch them again on Much Music that night, headlining in Vancouver.
Yeah,
it was great.
Oh, that was so fun.
And Spinal Tap played that show as well, yeah. I believe.
That's right.
Spinal Tap, yes. Yeah.
Wish I would have been there.
Well, I'm gonna keep it with you, Chris. And I think that's fascinating that you can now measure time, you know, before and after that event. That's mm-hmm. a pretty mm-hmm. cool symbol of how powerful that show was to you. But now I'm going to,
yep.
things are going to get more difficult here because we're going to pull up the list. And there we go. And we're going to go around the table in the inverse order that we've just went, starting with Chris. And I want to hear a headline. You know, what is the headline of this 20 song segment, Chris, from Guelph?
I had to come up with a single headline. It would be Scared is Rated Way Too Low. I had that at number 10 on my list.
Where is it? 28. Yeah. I was really surprised by that as well. But there's, you know, there's a few surprises, and we'll get into those as we, you know, continue to go. But Craig, what is your headline?
Mine would be, I mean, there's no exact way to say that. I would almost flip the list, you know, like I'd almost put We Want to Be It in Three Pistols position, and, you know, not exactly perfectly backwards, but a lot of my favorites are in that bottom, you know, 10, and even going back to the, you know, songs number 41 to 169, a lot of my favorites are there. And so I have a hard time with some of these being so high, but that's just preference. And I love all of these songs. Like, even if I pick my least favorite song of this list, I still, you know, can totally appreciate, like, you know, Gus, we've talked about with Justin, I know, not a song I love, but I'll definitely listen to it. And I understand why people love it, but it would never be in my top 40.
Not in your top 40. Wow. We're going to come back to that. Whoa. Cause I want you to be more specific with something else as well.
Well, I can just rattle off 40 songs I like more if you want.
No, let's not. Well, actually, yeah, keep it coming. Sarah J from Buffalo, what is your headline?
I'm going to bring it back to the point that you highlighted at the top of the show, was this list, specifically the 10 that just rolled out and the placement of them. So, you know, just the album title, Your Favorites, would really just exemplify the 7 of the 10 that are out on that album and are on this most recent list that have rolled out. It's interesting how that plays into it, that being released, and the point that was made of, I think Andrew expanded on it too. If you go back and listen to the first roundtable episode, Andrew even expanded on it a little further, the point of those albums, the later albums, and just where those tracks are on there and how that all factored in. So if you go back and listen to that conversation unfold, it's very interesting. And it seems to be kind of what seems to be happening here with the way that the songs are ranking.
Interesting indeed. Yeah. That certainly leads to the question of, you know, what's to come. And we'll get to that in a later segment. But for now, we're going to go to Jeff from Vaughn and get his headline.
Okay, when I look at this list, I'm a believer as we get close to the 21, unlike Craig, like I can get the Three Pistols and Long Time Running and even Poets and Lake Fever. But when I go up to the top of the list, those first four got to be moved. Well, not Springtime. We got to keep Springtime. But for me, We Want to Be It and You're Not the Ocean is not in this top 40 at all for me, especially while I'm looking out of my corner eye here at the what came in 41 and 42. Like, if we could just swap those, you got Don't Wake Daddy at 41 and The Dire Wolf. Those to me just smash We Want to Be It and You're Not the Ocean. Has nothing to do with whether I like them. I like those songs. We're just talking about positioning here. And even above that is So Hard Done By and El Dorado, Twist My Arm. Like, the ones that were just knocking on the door to get in here, and I'm looking at You're Not the Ocean and We Want to Be It. And to me, I don't know, even in a world possessed by the human mind, is I like that song a lot, actually, from the, especially from the later albums, but not top 40. Throw it in the 40s somewhere, but I can't sit there. I'm holding my words back here by looking at Daddy at 41 knocking on the door.
I
can name off other ones too, but I'm not even going up the list. I'm just looking at the ones that were close. Twist My Arm was the first song I ever heard from the Hip in 1990, so 91. And that's what stands out to me, but it's a good list.
I was actually saying that I think those songs should be higher, like 20.
I disagree.
Okay. I thought you.
I don't even believe they should be on this list, let alone be higher. We Want to Be It, and You're Not the Oceans, not a Three Pistols, or A Long Time Running. Yeah, I like it too. It's just.
No, I know.
Yeah,
I
for going.
Three, and I love Three Pistols and Long Time Running.
A lot of my vision on the Hip's music and how I hear it is because I saw them live so many times. I'm running movies in my head of seeing it live. I'm not sitting there listening to a studio album and kind of rating it. So that's probably maybe not the right way to look at it. But that in my mind, I'm hearing Don't Wake Daddy live. And I'm like, okay, that's got to be on there.
That can be something that completely changes a song for me. And it's happened many, many times. You know, when Violet Light 100%. Came out, I liked it. And then I went to see them tour that album at Molson Amphitheater in Toronto. And they played the Dire Wolf. And I was just, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then from then on, the song took on a whole new meaning. So if we were ranking it before that show and after that show, it would have shot way up after seeing it live. Because it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. I totally see where you're coming from. And to, go a little bit further, I play in a Hip tribute. And so I'm now playing most of these songs live, almost every weekend. And so that is another sort of layer, like now, and that's why a song like You're Not the Ocean, just, I kind of find things in some of these songs that maybe I didn't appreciate as much before. And then when you start analyzing, that's an interesting thing they did here. Like, why did they go to this chord in this verse, but not in, you start noticing the intricacies of their music that are unlike any other band. Like, I could give so many examples of just bizarre choices they make in their songwriting that are so subtle that I think most people wouldn't even notice. And so some of these things really stick out to me, and the songs I love playing are typically more the B-sides.
I wonder, Craig, if, and Jeff for this matter, and Chris for this matter, and you know what? I'm going to throw you in there too, Sarah J. But I wonder if, there's something to the idea, Craig, that you're in a band, and I would say, I'm going to guess, the three quarters of the set is for them and one quarter's for you, or maybe the ratio is a little higher or a little lower, but ballpark. And so I wonder if that clouds, your feeling on Long Time Running, Three Pistols, Boots or Hearts, Music at Work, even, some of these songs that are staples that you're going to play every weekend versus tonight I'm going to put in for us. We're doing You're Not the Ocean. Yeah, you guys have that in your quiver, but you don't use that arrow every week. And so it's kind of fun to pull that one out. And Jeff and Chris with the mini movie idea, I really love that context, that layer of context as well. And that wasn't something I considered, when we solicited people's top 20 ballots. I didn't consider capturing any other data, which is a mistake now, I know, because it would be cool to understand age cohorts and that sort of thing as well. And that would color the list as well, or the number of concerts that you've seen, that would color the list as well. So it's fun to hear you debate. And I want to sick you into another debate jumping off from where you were, which was an overrated, underrated battle. For the latter portion of the list versus the former portion of the list, the near portion of the list. At any rate, I'm wondering, Sarah J, if there is a glaring miss ranking for you, and that could be in either direction. And once you're done answering, if anybody wants to jump in, feel free to do so.
I don't think so. I mean, I have determined a long time ago in my own musical taste that my favorite songs are always the ones that most people are also don't like. So, and doing this top 20 and picking my own songs, and again, my number one all-time favorite hip song ranked at 118. So that's me and what I pick. So I just, it's hard for me to kind of size up what I do, because I know I always pick way against the grain. I just love to watch the songs stack up, and somehow they do stack up. It's so difficult to pick, because even with my top 20, I listen to it pretty regularly. I made it into a playlist, and it's really like my go-to playlist if I just want to have some music on. And every single time, I'm so pleased with the way that it rolls out. And I think that even if I were to take 20 random songs and make a playlist from this, and even if they weren't on my 20 ballad, it would still be a banger of a playlist. So I just, any way that it stacks up, it just, I don't think it's not going to be wrong ever. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm curious about your playlist making. Are you somebody who is like what I would call a purist, who you spend a lot of time curating the list in a specific order, or are you somebody that, you know, throws the songs in there and puts it on shuffle?
Well, when I play my, like, that playlist, because I have multiple playlists, it really depends. A lot of times I will start, like, my top 20, I'll start it from, it'll start from number 20, and then it'll go to one. I'll play it like in order that way. Sometimes I'll just pick a random song and let it shuffle through the whatever. So it's kind of what the mood is.
Oh, that's
where
cool.
I start, okay. Where I wanna. Yeah. And sometimes it's, if we're in the car, sometimes it'll be up to my 10-year-old too, but now, because we've been so immersed in Gord's solo stuff here at my house, we've been really, him and I have been really in that vortex. So that's been fun.
That's pretty neat to hear.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat to hear. Chris from Guelph. What is your hot take or your over under ranked song on this list? You can start a debate now.
Everything, the thing about these lists is it's really hard to say they're wrong, but if I were placing it, Lake Fever is a fantastic song. I love it. So, I mean, I don't think We Want to Be It would be in a top 40. That's probably, yeah, my hot take on that. And that, I don't know if that's all that controversial, really, because it's barely in there. The right. Thing about these lists is, it's funny because I've talked to you, JD, about the YouTube video I did years ago where I ranked every single song. This was pre-Suskadelphia, yeah. Pre-re-releases with like Bumblebee and things like that. But I ranked every single song. And, you know, in the comments, people disagreed with me, and that's totally cool. Every, you know, people would say, oh, that's totally different than my list would be. And that's totally fine. But when people would come on there and try and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about, please, son, sit down.
It's your list.
You're the number one. You know, I remember one guy coming in there telling me that I got it wrong, and I was like, son, go sit. You know, you talk to. I was very like, give me a break, dude. Like, I know the band inside out. upside down, backwards. Like, this is my list, you know? And if you disagree with it, that is totally cool because everyone's list is different. So, yeah, songs like We Want to Be It, they wouldn't be in my top 40, but it's...
Where was it in your list? Where was We Want to Be It in your ranking? Do you remember?
It would have been... it would have been in the bottom... I can't remember exactly. I tried to pull it up on my full list up here and just to compare my 40 to 21. And there's about 5 songs in there that we have in common. That's it.
Just 5?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to try.
Which one is the highest ranking in common?
Well, Long Time Running was higher. Scared was higher. Flamenco was higher. Probably Lake Fever is right around where I put it. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, I love that song.
It's a great song. It's a great song.
It's right about where I put it. I agree with that ranking.
Yeah, I think the list is going to, it's going to be interesting as it progresses because there's not a great deal of hostility around, you know, the list as an aggregate, but there are certain songs sometimes that stick in people's craw. I get that.
Sure.
I do think though that we're going to see when we get into the top 20, maybe a little bit more debate, you know, and dissent perhaps.
Sure.
Maybe not though, because this is statistically valid. So there's that. Jeff from Vaughn.
I think we will. I think once in the top 20, there'll be some discrepancy, more vocal about it. But I think the top 10 for sure, because there will be 2 or 3 songs in there where people are just like, come on, that is not a top 10. Because, you know, we're down to that 10, those 10, right? So I think you're going to get people calling on that. I wanted to ask you, JD, how many have you ever divulged? How many votes made up this entire list? Like, was
no, there... I haven't, nor will yeah. I. But I will say that it's
a decent amount.
It up and it's okay. Enough for me to say, yeah, I'm pretty confident in this list as an aggregate, you know.
And it was spawn across. Was it just forums and groups and stuff like that? Or was it also like just musical people in general that you had access to through other groups and podcasts? Or was it strictly hip people?
All of the above.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was all of the above. Obviously on the, you know, on the journalist or musician front, significantly lower percentage.
Yeah.
You know, most people were hip fans, most people were male hip fans, and most people were male hip fans between 40 and 65.
Mm.
So, you know, that's the way the band shakes down at this point. But I will tell you that there are people much younger. I just saw a tribute band that... they play all sorts of stuff, but they played 6 or 7 hip songs and they sort of did it in their own way. Like, they're 19 years old and they were interpreting it in a different way than I had ever heard, but it was still completely 100th Meridian. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
I don't know
how to describe it. Yeah. Yeah. Craig, we haven't heard from you in a while. Is there anything else about the list in general that you want to discuss, or should we get into, you know, more prediction?
Well, I would definitely swap some out. I mean, just quickly looking through the ones that didn't make in the top 40. Like, I've really quickly found 5 or 6 that I would definitely have in my top 40. Dire Wolf,
Me too.
In View, Opiated, Something On, Daredevil. And Morning Moon, for me, all those songs would be in my top 40, if not my top 20, a few of them, some of them in my top 10. And then some wow. songs on this list I probably wouldn't have this high would be like Poets isn't in my top 40. Springtime, probably not. And I love those songs. Gus, probably not. Pigeon Camera is an interesting one because it for a long time was like my favorite hip song or like up in the top three. And now I'd say, you know, it's maybe in the 20s for me.
But might be properly rated.
It's such a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it was top three at one point in your life.
Yeah. I always just loved that song. It was my favorite song off Fully Completely for many years. I think probably the title track is my favorite now off that album. But
yes, me too. That's what I've grown into. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's absolutely. Funny how much the lists change over the years, right? Like Dire Wolf, I never would have put on in my top 20, you know, even a couple of years ago. And now, just love that song.
What, going around the table again, we'll start with Jeff and we'll work our way down. What are you most looking forward to in the second half? Is it... Well, I won't put words in your mouth. What are you most looking forward to in the second half, Jeff from Vaughn?
Listen, I'm a B-side guy too. I mean, when I went to live shows, I was always chasing. And again, I never begate them for playing New Orleans or Wheat Kings. Or it's just that I had heard it so many times and I knew there were people, it was their first show or second show. Like, you got to play it. Even I was hoping for it, but I was there chasing the two or three that they might play. And so when it comes to this final 20, I'm probably more in the camp of cheering on any B-sides that are sliding into that batch, because that means that you got to some deep hip fans and they voted up, like even the Depression Suite up at 34, to be honest, I'm even a bit surprised that it was there, because I wondered, and I know in the hip community, it is revered by many as a killer tune for many reasons, but I still didn't think there'd be enough votes to get it into the top 40. So I'm hoping for some more gems like that to pop up. And I don't even have all the songs in front of me, so I don't know. I know some that are left, but I don't know the whole list. So I'm kind of waiting, and I'm pleasantly surprised when I log into the episodes and kind of hear. I'm even a little bit jaded that you don't put the name of the song at the top of the podcast, because I'm searching through and I'm like, oh yeah, which one's that? I'm like, damn, I got to click on it. And I'm thinking from a marketing point of view, I'm thinking, okay, well, why are you going to go in and click and hear what song it is if it just says it on the title? Like at what number you're at, right? Because I was going through and listening to some bits of the last 20 to prepare for the show, and I was trying to remember which one was which. And so yeah, I'm waiting and hoping for a couple of surprises. Let's put it that way. I think some of the top five are not going to be surprises, but I could be wrong.
I will still say that I don't think at this point, I said it at 40, I said it at 31, I'll say it again here at 21. I don't think anyone would be able to guess the top five in order. I don't think they could. I don't think it's possible. Obviously we're getting closer, so it'll become more possible, but I still think there's going to be some surprises in there. So Jeff, you may get your wish after all. Good. In terms of surprises. Sarah J.
Well, I'm going to echo, first of all, what Jeff said. I'm hoping that we find some, you know, B-side surprises and be like, all right, guys, nice, very nice. So just watching them roll out and just continuing to hear everything week after week. But I will say the little side quests that some of the guests have had. We talked about Matt's interview with Gord. We got that little treat. And if you want to mention, you know, we've had Darren on the show and talking about the Hip Archive, and then you had Yannick on the show and his page, Dance Like Gord, and Sean, who then shared his blog post about all the traveling places. That's been a lot of fun too, is like the little side quests from the guests and, you know, having people that are in tribute bands, and then, you know, I will follow them on social now and things like that. And so these little like offshoot things that are coming from these guests, I'm excited for more of that.
Oh, cool. That's great to hear. Yeah. I think you'll be pleasantly, surprised. So that's great. Craig?
I'm looking forward to, yeah, just the top 5 to 10 unraveling. And I know it's going to be controversial. And I'm like Jeff, I hope that some B-sides squeak in there, or at least, you know, lesser, you know, I would love it. You know, no offense to Wheat Kings, I would love it if it didn't make the top 5. Amazing song, but you know, it's
going to, though. Sorry to tell you.
I know it probably will. I know it probably will. But I just have this hope that maybe it won't. Like I think there's going to be a surprise. I think you know, if you take your New Orleans, Wheat Kings, Blow It High Dough, you know, I think one of those songs won't make the top 5. Like it, maybe Blow would be the one that doesn't crack it, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping for Nautical in number 1. That's my hope.
It was my number 1 for a long time. It wasn't my number 1 when I submitted my top 20, okay, but it was my number 1 for a long, long time.
Yeah, and I think, boy, I had Impression Suite in my top 5. I actually lost my list, so I don't know what I voted for, but I did mine very spur of the moment. I didn't.
Yeah.
I just did what I was feeling at the time and
right.
Fired it off to you.
But. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's not, I didn't, you know, want anybody to send the list in blood or anything like that. So, yeah, you know,
I
guarantee
it would be different today
if I
redid it.
You have to submit a photograph of a tattoo of your top 20 list on your forearm to qualify.
Actually,
carefully, Craig.
I had a thought last night, listening to, I think, Bob Cajun. And one thing the Hip is really good at is writing a bridge. And I was trying to think, like,
yes,
is there a song with a better bridge than Bob Cajun?
I don't think so. Another song. It makes the hair on my neck stand up.
I know.
So good.
It's amazing. Like it's bigger than the chorus, right? Like that's the part of the song you
went
for. That's the part of the song everyone in the crowd sings along to. And then songs like Lake Fever, the way they build intensity through the bridge in Lake Fever, and In View as the same thing. That's hard to do. A bridge is typically the part of the song the band throws in there just because someone tells them they need a bridge, or because, you know, they just to change things up for a moment. And usually it's like, you know, a really strong songwriter can craft something and they know, you know, what to do. But the Hip have some kind of crazy ability to make a really special thing out of a bridge. So that's just something I thought about last night. I'd probably come up with way more, but those three in particular came to mind.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, you hit it on the head when you said Bob Cajun, right? Like it's so perfect. Yeah. Chris, anything you want to add?
Well, yeah, if you don't mind, I was searching for it for a bit when you were asking me to compare lists. Do you want me to just read out quickly my 40 to 21?
Sure. Yeah.
I was right. Lake Fever, I have it at 27.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
sorry. Just
so I'll read down just in order from 40 to 21. I got Fiddler's Green, The Direwolf, Thugs, Get Back Again, Thompson Girl, Pigeon Camera, Put It Off, Machine, 38 Years Old, Fully Completely, Greasy Jungle, Another Midnight, 700 Foot Ceiling, Lake Fever, It Can't Be Nashville Every Night, The Darkest One, Something On, So Hard Done By, Twist My Arm, Last of the Unplucked Gems.
That's a great list too, dude.
Yeah.
That's a great list. I would listen to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for bringing Another Midnight where it belongs, up a lot higher than
51. Absolutely love that song. My God. Every single album always has one of the, you guys are B-side, staying on with that theme, the B-side, there's always one on every album that I absolutely love, and that's Up to Here's B-side that I love. I can't get enough of it.
That's what I was talking about, JD. Collins.
Colin from the chat is saying that next season should be the top 40 bridges.
New podcast.
We can put that one together, Colin and Craig.
Yeah.
All right. So should I really, at this point, you guys have been warmed up. So I'm going to give you the next question, and then I'm going to vamp for a moment so that you can think about your response for a moment. And what that is, the question is going to be one bold prediction. This is a bold prediction. This is not, you know, no pussyfooting around here, folks. This is a bold prediction. So think about your answers. I don't want any, no, I can't think of anything. But while you're thinking of this, I want to talk to you for a brief moment about October 4th and a celebration of the hip for ALS. It is, tickets are on sale now. Early bird tickets are available. They're $20. And I think it's $35 for a pair. So if you're, you know, if you've got a date, then you can take them, and or a buddy or whatever. Maybe it's a surprise birthday present for somebody. And you get to go and listen to the Strictly Hip. You get access to a silent auction, which is going to be online. So everybody across Canada and the United States is going to have access to this auction. So there's going to be some bidding going on. And then we are going to do the live finale for this show, which will include songs number one and songs number two. So there's that. We hope to see you there on October 4th at the Rec Room in Toronto. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Show starts at 7:30. And we wrap it up at 12:30 a.m. So get ready. Strap in. Sarah J. from Buffalo. What is your bold prediction for the top 20?
Well, you said this and the first thing I thought of, because you said I can't say no. So my bold prediction is I feel like Ahead by a Century is probably going to be number one. And I'm going to say that I don't love that a lot, personally. I mean, it's not one of my favorite songs, personally. Wow. But I understand the feelings behind it. And so that's why I think that that song is going to be number one. Like, I guess I could say that that would be my prediction. Totally. It's number one. I just have a feeling that that's going to be the number one song. And it's going to be all based on, I think, emotions. That's what I think it's going to be.
I think if that were the case, I mean, there's certainly the context of the song has changed since it was played at the very end. You know,
right.
Yeah, that was the last song that we got to hear. So the context has changed. Right. You're right. That's going to be baggage that is strapped to that song forever. And whether or not that, you know, resists the gravitational pull and pulls it down toward number one, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I think for me, that is like the biggest, that song is going to be the one I think is going to be the most interesting for me to see where it falls. And it's because of that, just because I know that emotional baggage that it carries for so many people.
That's right. Yeah. Chris, what is your bold prediction?
At least two songs that should be, are we saying top 20? Did you say?
Yep.
Okay. So even more. So at least three songs that should be top 20 will not be, simply because they've been overplayed.
What are those three songs?
So New Orleans is Sinking is going to be one. No, it's going to be top 20. It has to be. Bob Cajun's going to be there. Boots of Hearts is already here.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that was a real surprise for me. I'll put myself on the line for a moment. That was a fun episode to do, folks. That was really wild. And I let Mr. McLean choose whatever song he wanted. And it just happened that the song that he chose was on the top 40. So I didn't have to go back to him and, you know, give him a short list or anything like that. It was there. And it was number 25. And I was blown away that it was on the top 40. Like when he asked for it, I thought for sure I was going to have to send him a, you know, a reply that would be, you know, potentially putting the interview or conversation rather in jeopardy. And that wasn't the case at all. But that would be something that I would say, you know, to put my neck on the line. I would say I wouldn't have Boots of Hearts in the top 40. Not a chance.
Me neither.
So
I wouldn't either, but I will say from the, you know, perspective of a tribute performer, there are about 7-8 songs that are like guaranteed, you know, to pack the dance floor, and Boots of Hearts is one of them. We often
really,
it's often in the last 5 songs we play.
All that is bananas.
Number, I would say it's maybe number 3, like maybe Blow It High Dough, New Orleans. Those are like guaranteed to pack the dance floor. But
Boots quick scroll, I got it at 93. Yeah, 93.
Wow, for me. I do the acoustic part, so it's super fun.
But that's a fun song for sure.
Like there's no right or wrong. It's just personal preference.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I would definitely not have New Orleans in my top 40 either. Great song. It's the song that it's why I'm here. You know, like that song got me hooked when I was, you know, whatever, 14, whatever I was when it came out, but they've just put out so much good music.
Yeah, they really have. Jeff.
I'm going off course here. Like, how did the All Canadian Surf Club end up at 96? Like, I mean, most people don't even know that song, period. How does it end up at 96? Like, there's just I can't get fixated my eyes off these 169 down to 40. Like, there's just, like, all the good tunes from up to here, like When the Weight Comes Down and Born in the Water, and like those are hardcore rock and bluesy songs that, like, when I go back there, I don't go to up to here too often, but when I go back there, I'm like, man, is this song ever good? Like, it's just so raw, right? Like, I just don't put it on that much anymore, but to see them sitting in the 90s and hundreds, like, it's just seems weird. Like Sherpa for me, same thing. Like, what's it doing way up there? But
oh man, that's in my top 20. Yeah,
I love Sherpa. Yeah. Great.
Go watch the live version they perform at Fort York on the 24th. I think it was the second night. There's a couple of good videos there. Like, that's just outrageous. And that show they opened up with Don't Wake Daddy, it's just insane. Like, that show, I can still remember where I was standing and the weather that night. It was just nuts.
I definitely watched that recently.
Yeah, heading into this top 20, like, bold prediction. I mean, it's not really a prediction, but like when I look, I start to wonder what album is going to have the most representation in the top 20. Does anybody have a guess on that?
Fully, completely.
Yeah. Fully, completely.
It's going to have Courage. It's going to have Locked. It's going to have Fully, Completely. It's going to have Weak Kings. 50 Mission will be in there.
For sure.
Holy shit. Yeah, you might be right.
So that we're going to see. And you know what made me think of that? I'm looking at the top 10 songs on Spotify right now. Yeah. And Long Time Running is number 9.
Oh, wow.
And like, we just served it up in the 20s, right? So
yeah,
just goes to show you. Now, I see Grace 2 at number 5. And Grace 2, for a guy that saw the band an immense amount of times and heard that song like probably at 85% of the shows, that's still for me on Day for Night. And I don't know, that's just one song. Like, you know, Craig is saying I wouldn't have New Orleans in my top 40. I don't know, I might not either, only because of the overplayedness of it for me. Like, non-live and live. But for some reason, Grace 2 just never got old. Like,
I agree.
Yeah,
I can never tire of that song. I absolutely love
There's just something about it that, you know, it was like, oh God, they're opening up with this again. It was like, okay, we're home. Like, yep. You know, this is it. Yep. So for me, my hope prediction is that one sneaks its way up, and it's popular, but I don't think it's going to be a top five, but I'd love to see that thing inch its way up to the top. You think it'll be top five?
Yeah, I do too.
I do. Yeah. I think top five.
Yeah. Like five, even with,
four. Wow.
Yeah. Well, then
I definitely think there's magic tied to that song. And I'll give you a concrete example. Putting together these podumentaries, when I put a call out for people to submit entries for the Saturday Night Live performance, so many people went to that song. And that was, you know, a seminal moment. And they talk about it in the book. And it's just a moment. And people are so married to that memory in a good way, in a great way. Whereas this time I'm doing a call for podumentary docs. If you're listening to this, we're looking for podumentary entries, and it's for Music at Work, and I'm getting not as many responses as I would like to make this a comprehensive podumentary, but I digress.
You know, the Grace 2 Saturday Night Live thing, for me, it was, I remember the experience, and it was strange for me because I knew something was wrong. I hadn't heard the story, but I knew he flubbed at the opening line. I knew it wasn't intentional. Just from seeing the band enough and watching Gord and the way he kind of cringed, and remember he closed his eyes and shook his head like, yeah. Jesus, Gord, you had one job. But something, you know, it took him about a minute and a bit to get into it, and then he sort of fell back, and then it was Gord that we knew. But for me, it was a strange one because the intensity wasn't quite there at the beginning. He's like, could tell the camera was right on him, and, you know, pre-internet days, so we hadn't heard the story about the nephew and the 11. And,
that's a cover story for the Weed, I think, maybe.
But somebody said, and it was partially true, a guy that I knew that went to Queens, that Gord was really, really nervous, and he just sort of had Dan Aykroyd's words ringing in his ear, and he repeated them, and they just happened to rhyme.
Good thing, right?
Same syllables. Yeah, got really lucky. but yeah, I knew something was wrong, and then he eventually said, about a minute and a bit in, he settled in, and then they nailed it. So that was my experience, because I was absolutely pumped for that. I was counting down.
I should take a look at where that lands, but I'll do that offline because I'm curious now.
I actually still remember the exact moment I heard that song for the first time.
Really?
Yeah, on the radio before the album had come out.
Same here.
They would play a song. And I remember picking up a hitchhiker in a place called West Bank, you know, where I grew up. And I knew the guy hitchhiking. So this kid, Nathan, he went to my school. He was a year younger than me, and I wasn't like great friends with him, but I knew him, and friend of a friend kind of thing. And he was too cool to listen to the Hip. He was a skater, and he wasn't into that kind of music. And I remember Grace 2 was on, and he's like, this isn't the Tragically Hip. I'm like, yeah, it is. This is their brand new song. And he was just like so shocked that this wasn't that, you know, bar band that he had heard and hated. I'm not sure if he likes them now, but I just remember that reaction of him. Like, he just couldn't believe it was the Hip.
Look at that. Hey, well, that song knocked us right off the boat.
Oh yeah.
Such a departure.
Yeah. I remember going home the first night and listening to it. I hadn't heard it yet. I don't think, cause I didn't have a radio in my dorm. And they had played it, I think, the Sunday night before the Tuesday that it came out. They had done
I heard it on the radio a couple times. I heard it on the radio, loved it. And then I was lucky enough to score tickets to the advanced listening party at the Horseshoe.
Oh, my gosh.
A couple days before the album came out.
Yeah.
But maybe a week before. So they played the whole album.
Wow. So, and that's on
Grease 2 from the radio, and I knew Nautical Disaster from hearing it live in the middle of New Orleans is sinking on the Roadside Attraction Tour previously.
Yep. Right.
And at the Ontario Place Forum. So I'd heard it twice live.
Yeah, I'd and heard Thugs and So Hard Done
was
By.
Was excited to hear that it was its own song.
Oh, so much so. Well, folks, it's been an interesting time discussing this list with you and just discussing the Tragically Hip in general. I just want to go around the table one more time, starting with Jeff. If anybody's got anything they want to rap on, if anyone's got any plugs, or if anybody just wants to, you know, say another thing about the Tragically Hip, that's cool too. Jeff, we'll start with you, buddy.
I'm looking forward to the podumentary on the Music at Work, and I will get my contribution into you because I do have some opinions on the album. Got a couple of favorite songs and a couple of misses. I think not necessarily. Maybe I won't say too much because I'll leave it for that. I do have a few friends that are pretty deep hip fans that are not may not be listeners here. So I'm going to send them a link to your thing because they may very well just log in and give you a couple of sound bites for the contribution. Cool. Yeah, right. I believe that album definitely deserves to be chatted about up and down for sure.
Sarah.
Yeah, everything that I do, you can find everything at datcmediacompany.com. Check out my show, Dropped Among This Crowd. This past week was part one with Kirk from Discovering Downey and many other things that he does. And so this coming Tuesday will be part two of our conversation. And we're actually going to talk about the podcast more in part two, and then we talk about gear and bands and a whole bunch of other stuff. That was such an epic conversation. So yeah, that's coming out on Tuesday, and yeah, follow on all the things.
Excellent.
Cool.
We will do that. Absolutely. Craig.
Well, I guess I can mention the band. So I play in a band called Gift Shop, and we are a hip tribute on the West Coast, and we were pretty good. I think we spend the time, like we record every show, and we honestly just analyze, listen back, we like nitpick it, and I pride myself on really finding like the little tricks that maybe not everyone picks up on. I do the Paul part. We're playing tomorrow night in White Rock. We're playing all the time around the mainland. We're playing the Roxy in Vancouver on June 14th. And we're actually just putting together a promo video. We recorded our show last weekend at a theater, and we just got the audio yesterday, and it sounds pretty awesome. And I'm looking forward to getting that out online. So if you want to check us out, giftshophipband.ca. We're on all the socials at Gift Shop Hip Band.
Cool. And I'm going to go see you in November.
Yeah, it's we're playing a casino in November, and JD was able to work it out, so it's going to be awesome. We'll throw some surprises on there. Cuts on there for you.
Have a good show tomorrow night.
Thank you. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's one of our favorite clubs tomorrow night, so it should be fun.
Chris.
Well, JD, as I mentioned to you earlier in Messenger, you have sort of inspired me to revisit my project again. So we've talked about this several times over the years. I'd started a podcast called No Contingency Plan, and it's just about my story, and starting with, you know, what I talked about seeing them live for the first time. And it goes actually back further to when I first saw them in 87 on Much Music. And that was when I first was introduced to the band, seeing Small Town Bring Down. So pretty much right from the beginning. And I've been just loyally dedicated fan for all these years, and up until today. There hasn't been a day gone by, I can honestly say, that I haven't listened to the music in all those years, since July 1st, 1992. Wow. Not a single day. I'd scripted the first episode and started talking about it, just my experience with, you know, being a fan, and I had stopped. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to talk about it. Sort of, I remember hearing Paul in the Massey Hall. What was the title of that thing? The round table thing they did at Massey Hall.
Oh, it was for the
book launch, right?
Yeah.
And Paul said he hadn't read the book yet. He just wasn't ready. And I was like, that's how I felt doing this podcast. Like, I just wasn't ready to bring it all up again because it's such a huge part of my life. So I'm ready. I'm gonna start it again. Keep an eye out for that. No contingency plan as the work.
Very cool. Yeah, let me know when you got it complete.
Non-hip, non-music. I am for a living, I'm a strength and conditioning coach. So if you know anyone is interested in something like that, I'm at Structured Strength Coaching. Or you can just look me up. My name is Chris Sinclair. Last name should be easy to remember for this crowd. And you can search me up on Facebook, Instagram, or anything and reach out, and happy to talk with you.
Yeah, I'm very happy for all of you tonight, and I thank you for your plugs. And Jeff, I thank you for plugging the podumentary. So there's that. That's what we've got for you this round table. We'll be back again in another 10 songs when we get to song number 11 to do this all again. And we'll be that much closer to number one. So some of the hot takes we'll have to revisit. Some of the predictions we'll have to revisit. I'm really looking forward to it. So I want to thank Jeff, Sarah J, Craig, and Chris. And thank you for spending your Friday night with us. Means a lot. Pick up your shit.
This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter. Because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.